I know that all of us are so very proud of our music program, and we truly appreciate what all of you are doing for us as a church with your rehearsals, giving the time, and sharing your talent. Thank you so much. And Sally, during the past week, where's Sally now? Oh, yes, yes. I just want to say that during the past week, I was watching, while I was working on my computer, the TV was on, and I was watching an old Lawrence Welk show. And guess who stood there? A young, beautiful, pretty little Sally. So I heard you the way you sounded many, many years ago. Wonderful. Thank you so much for our entire music program. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 4, the verses 4 through 9. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. Here ends our scripture reading. Isn't that a beautiful passage in the Bible? May we sense God's presence as we dig a little bit deeper and talk about what we just read. I want to tell you that a positive attitude in life often makes all the difference. I love the story about the father who bragged to his son about what a great hunter he was. So one day the kid went with his father on the next hunting trip to see this great hunter father of his in action. So they sat in the duck blind for a time when one lonely waterfowl winged his way through the sky. Well, immediately the father took aim, he fired and missed. "Son," he said, "you know what? You've just witnessed a miracle. There flies a dead duck." I sort of like that one. The Hebrew Testament tells of a time when the Israelites were so completely down in the dumps that they no longer laughed and they no longer sang the songs that they so often sang in the past. They no longer sang their songs of hope and joy. The same songs that used to lift their spirits were no more sung amongst them. Instead, now they were weeping. And listen what they said. David wrote it down. "How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" Because you see, at that time, they were slaves in a foreign land. They were actually captives in Babylon. and their captors wanted them to sing their songs. And most of their songs were songs of hope and joy. Can you see the picture? Captives, slaves. Captors say, come on, come on, sing for us. Be happy, be merry. However, they didn't want to actually. How could they? Why? Of course, they were longing for Jerusalem. Their temple was destroyed. They were longing, thinking back of the times when they could still worship in their temple. And now, all was over. The music stopped. And all they said was, how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The only song that they could still sing was a song of despair. Now, coming to our times, the question is, what does our Christian faith teach about being down in the dumps? Because all of us are, indeed, down in the dumps at times. Now, there is some biblical advice. The Bible says, reshape your worries into prayers. And I know many of you do that. I truly do, myself, and I know that many of you who love to be aware of God's presence and be reminded of God's presence, we would simply get it all out. We would pray about it and say and actually lay it and on the Lord's feet. And now, what will then happen? The Apostle Paul wrestled with exactly the same problem. And he knew the secret of prayer. And so he wrote to the Philippians about that secret. But you know, he didn't only write to them 2,000 years ago. I believe he actually wrote to us in times like these. He said to them, come on now, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And hear the promise. And before you know it, Paul says, a sense of wholeness. Everything will come together deep inside. And when you've shared your prayers, spoken with God about it, the Bible says life will be better. You will discover that a sense of wholeness is born from the inside out. Everything seems to be coming together for good. It will come and will settle you down. Wow. This sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? Just to deal with every problem that come your way. I had an incident this past week where a family was actually divided and fighting amongst them. I was speechless. It was so difficult to deal with people who simply wouldn't see things each other's way. So, question is, did Paul practice what he preached? Does he realize what he was saying? Oh, yes. Let me remind you, he did it in a dramatic fashion. Remember the time when Paul and Silas ended up in prison after a severe flogging? What did they do? Their backs were bleeding. They were in pain. They were in prison. Did they then refuse to sing the Lord's song? To the contrary. The Bible says, it was about midnight. It was the darkest moment of the night when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoner, says the Bible, were listening to them. So they were not only praying and singing, they were also preaching. What a different attitude. God's presence and God's wholeness settled them down, enabled them to overcome and complete their mission, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. Horrible for people who do not know about all this, because there are lots of suffering people here in Cocoa Beach and on the Space Coast and all around. People who can hardly make it. We see many of them come to our door, and I so much appreciate what so many of you are doing to feed them. We see their faces, and it's so great when we're able to at least pass something they can eat onto them. And always a little bit of advice. God is never far from those who suffer. So today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper as part of World Communion Sunday, I can only point out that there is indeed a longing for countless millions needing consolation, hoping to be healed, seeking to be whole again. Like many others across the world, many Americans are having difficulty expressing their faith with songs of hope and joy. Yeah, we believe and we pray and we lock the door behind us sometimes when things get really miserable. Nobody must know it. Things are too bad for me right now. And the advice is, that's a time to sing. That's a time to sing your song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. What a difference does it make? That's a song that can be sung around a dead bed. We are a nation struck with uncertainty, with deep financial concerns, international terrorism, hurricanes, raging fires, and we are sensitized anew for suffering and pain because we see so much around us. And yes, let's get a bit personal. Right here in our midst, our own people, people who once sat in these pews, sometimes can only come when they feel a little bit better. So many around who have to cope with difficult and painful personal situations. And that I need to say to you in church this morning, if you are wrestling with pain inside that you can hardly find words, if you are on the verge of desperation, you are not alone. You are surrounded by loving people in this church as you love others and them. You are not alone. And the Lord's song can, will, and should be sung for you this very day, in these days. You see, when the Israelites arrived in captivity, something else happened. They lost their identity. They forgot who they actually were. And in the process, they were beginning to lose their faith. It was confusing. They could no longer worship as they did in the past. And so when their captor said, come on, sing a happy song for us, They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now, in our times, in one way or another, people still ask the very same question. How do people sing the Lord's song in the midst of poverty and despair? How do they sing the Lord's song in a foreign land where children are dying from lack of the simplest medical attention? I have but one true incident to share. Because we know, if we think we know what pain and misery is in America, people who've been to the far corners of the world will actually smile at us. And they will say, you have no idea. No idea how great the suffering is in lands far, far away. That's why we have the Neighbors in Need collection today and next week. Because somehow we can do something for our people. But what do we do to send a message? To say to them, you are not alone, you are remembered, even if we can get only a slice of bread on your plate. That's the secret, that's the story of the Neighbors in Need collection that you read about in the bulletin today. And the one incident that really touched my heart, it was a church mission team who went to Guatemala. And they had all sorts of experiences there. And when they came back, they told their story. They actually visited some churches to tell the people, you know, what they saw in Guatemala. And one of them then said, in the face of a mother, I saw all the poverty and hardship of Guatemala. But then I heard a little boy sing. And in the singing of that little boy, I heard the song of hope. You see, that's the Lord's song. The song of hope. You can sing it wherever you are. You can sing it in the midst of poverty and the hardship of long hours of labor. You can sing it at night when you hold your children to your bosom, not knowing how you will feed them after tomorrow. So the mission team reported that the people of Guatemala, thou poor, believe this if you can, still laugh a lot. They said that it seems that they carry peace within their hearts and lives. For despite their hardships, they have learned how to sing. Sing encouraging words. How to sing the Lord's song. And all across the world, there are refugees who move from place to place in fear for their lives, but they still dare to sing to the Lord a song of hope. While I was serving a church in the Netherlands many years ago, I became aware of a bird species. And over there, I don't know if you're sure about here, but they call them a chaff finch. It's about the size and color of a robin. It has a beautiful song, and people keep these little birds in their homes to actually hear them sing. And I remember those songs. It's sort of part of our fondest memories. But these little birds sadly have a peculiar characteristic. Sometimes they forget how to sing, and then they have to get back into the woods where the wild birds sing in order to be retaught. And that's what people actually do. They take them in their little cage, sometimes because most of them ride on bicycles. You can see them with their little bird cage, pedaling out of the little town where we were. And then we knew they were taking their chaffinch to the woods where the other chaffinches are. And there they have to be retaught how to sing. Because far away from the wild, they forget the song and they become depressed and they die. If you want to keep your chaffinch, take it to the woods regularly. So what about us? Do we still sing the Lord's song deep within our hearts? Is your songs of hope and joy only memories of the past? Well, I'm telling you, it is time today to begin singing them again. Worldwide Communion holds that message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. The bread and wine are broken and poured because we are aware of an eternal love for you and for me. So let us turn our silence into songs of hope, life, and a future, not without, but with God. So come now, beloved brother and sister, come now and let this table prepared with bread and wine, so close to the essence of our faith, let it this morning lift our spirits and inspire us again to sing God's songs of hope and joy. Let our fear and our unrest that we brought with us to church this morning now turn into songs for the future, songs of life, songs of love, songs of hope, and songs of service to those who are not as fortunate as we still are. Amen.